ladies and gents, and welcome to the Capes and Commentaries podcast, your weekly, sometimes bi-weekly, whenever the hell and fuck and whatever we want to do it, we do it, but your go-to for, you're...
Reminding you that cartoons didn't used to suck.
Yeah.
And that,
there
you know...
There we go.
Yeah. And that's to put those assholes on YouTube who try to make a name for themselves by shitting all over great cartoons and pointing out flaws that aren't there, let them know they're all full of shit. That is where we come in.
Thanks for popping in right there, because YouTube does this dumb thing to where I have to wait until it's going to mute the actual video. So I started here myself, and then that's why I was like, my train of thoughts, they're gone now. And you came in, you swooped in, and you got the hot tag, and you kicked some ass.
I know. I came in, then I cleaned house.
I turned heel on you.
Yeah. He took the chair and. Good God Almighty. Why?
You know, when I was doing the Transitional Champion podcast, Dirt brought up WrestleMania 17 real quick. And it's like Vietnam flashbacks.
Deliberately? Like, does he know about your...
I don't think he does, but it still
how
just triggered.
How the hell does that get brought up?
I don't even remember how it did. But it did. And I'm just sitting there like, And I fade back all the many years
ago. Did you
look
up to the side like, you see like the faded visual of McMahon coming down to the ring and handing him the chair and why?
Yeah,
I'm just range and noise and
yeah, and it just pans to me and I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? No, this sucks. Now I wake up and I'm like sweating.
And then he's like, was it 17 again? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's like, God. Don't wake the dogs.
That was just.
Nathan gets up, goes to the bathroom. He's like Lance Guest in Jaws Revenge. Looks in the mirror and is like, I've got to get a grip of myself. And it's like having all these like nightmares about WrestleMania 17, and he's got to confront it, which means he'll do a live commentary for it on YouTube at some point.
I will.
The main event though. Just the main event.
I feel like I have to do the whole show because the whole show's great until that point, right?
The TLC match and the gimmick battle royal and you know all the other stuff in between.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I
yeah.
Love the
Test and Eddie Guerrero, huh?
I always loved like the entrance.
Oh yeah,
for WrestleMania, it was beautiful. I think it was
one
of the
best
they've ever
like
done.
That was like the first time they'd ever done that too on such a huge scale. It felt like the man, but it was just the beginning of the end. Like you could just really see it, you know, a week prior WCW was dead, ECW was dead. And then they just, here's WrestleMania. And then here's fucking Meat and Lance Storm hanging out way up in the rafters. Oh, the WCW guys. And then they didn't give a shit to be there. And then it was just bad. Fuck. Such a missed opportunity. That still like eats away at my heart. And not only that, but it's like, oh, we're gonna turn Stone Cold heel. Why? He was still popular.
It was no logical reason behind the change.
No.
It was just force and accept it because they're doing it. Why?
Look what happened. I just briefly mentioned it, and then it's just down that wormhole. Yeah. But before we get going on to our main topic for the show, let's say hello to Devil78, Jason Ritter, Febmon, and who that will. And we got a couple other people kind of lurking around as well. But thank you for joining us live for our live recording. Do we call it a taping?
Taping, recording.
Whatever. And JSP just popped in too. And the problem with that as well is he says that it signaled the end of the Attitude Era, but the problem with that as well is like they kind of kept that going even after the fact, like the Attitude part of it. It went on well into like I felt like it stopped was it bled into that Ruthless Aggression era, but I feel like it Vince's trajectory on what needed to be on TV sort of flopped itself when Benoit killed himself and his family. I think that's like what really steered, because they had to, because it put them in such a weird spot, and now they're more profitable than they've ever been, and I don't understand.
I don't see how when you don't hear about people, what, you know.
Well, and Dirt and I talked about this. TV deals, they make a lot of money off that. They're doing the Saudi Arabia stuff where, you know, the prince of Saudi Arabia is like, I want Ultimate Warrior and Yokozuna. And we're like, well, how do you break it to them that they're dead?
Well, how the hell is it at this point in your life you don't realize that?
It's Saudi Arabia, man. I don't know how they're progressing as a country and killing their.
So they still people. Think Warrior's got the belt, and that WrestleMania 6 was a couple months ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and Linda McMahon's Senate run also had a lot to do with that. I still enjoy that that video where like Linda is giving her speech when she lost. And it's like Stephanie and Triple H. I want to say Shane is there too, but Vince is like in the back corner, and he just looks so sad because he spent a lot of his money to help with that too. I'm like, well, what was worse, Vince, the WBF or the XFL or Linda's Senate run? He looked pretty pained by that,
and he does it a lot. Remember that whole like that big. That call in bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, hey, I'll give away $1 million. And someone calls in, like,
yeah,
this is like, seems so lame. And like, is anyone really buying this? And yeah. He was really trying to do it. And like,
yeah, he was just calling random numbers too.
And it never worked.
Yeah. And they were like, what? He did that for like a few couple weeks.
Yeah. I remember watching most of those Raws and I thought, this is such a waste of damn TV time. You could be giving this to some, you know, some hungry up and comer. No.
Yeah, and then like the set fell on him or didn't really fall on him, and they're trying to pretend like he's dead. Fuck, man. Wrestling. Welcome to a bonus edition of the Transitional Champion Podcast.
Oh, and you got to throw in like the Warrior comic book fiasco, too.
Oh, where he like fuck Santa Claus or whatever?
Well, no, I just remember, like, because Bruce Pritchard talked about that, too. Like, Warrior said he'd come back as long as they bought a shitload of the Warrior book.
And they got stuck with,
like, tons and tons of comic books that nobody wanted.
Well, because, like, he undressed the Santa Claus in that one.
I know there was a Christmas special, but, like, I remember my brother had, like, the first couple of issues of the Warrior comic. Like, him bought that. I think he special ordered it too because we couldn't find it. Wasn't available in comic book stores in the area. I think it was something
Shit. I tapped out on Warrior, I think, like after his WWF title run. I think like when he came back, after he left and came back again, I didn't care. And then, especially when he showed up in WCW, I was like,
I was excited as hell to see him do that. But then once he had his match with Hogan at Halloween Havoc, I was
cool. Like, hey, yeah, that was a fucking turd. That should be another show I can like live stream and watch with the chat. Halloween Havoc 98. Hey, the DDP Goldberg match was really good, but they had that whole fiasco of the feed cut out for most of the people. It didn't cut out on mine. I saw the match, but they're like, we're gonna show it again on Nitro, and I'm like, yeah. You could just see the writing on the walls, and then all of this was just building and building to that finger poke. And I'm like, it's over. But the shitty thing now, the terrible thing now is where they're relying so much on nostalgia. And back then they were like, it's all these old guys. Triple H and them, they're the same age, if not older. And they're doing this. And I'm like, it makes me mad because the talent that they have right now is like the best ever. It's the best they've ever had, like in-ring ability. And it's just the same boring shit every week. And
just knowing you have to watch Batista versus Triple H for the podcast when that goes down, correct?
Oh yeah, yeah. But Batista came.
Who the hell wanted to see that again? Who wants to see those guys? Like, why? What was the?
And face Triple H of all things too.
I guess because Infinity War or Avengers Endgame's coming out in May, so therefore WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, to his credit, Batista has always said, he's like, I do want to come back, but they won't let me come back. And what he wanted to do was wrestle Triple H. And that's his own choosing. I guess they finally decided to do it. But I look forward to the promos because I think Batista with the acting, he's improved. I imagine he's improved. He'll be able to pull it off. The promos will be good. And the match itself, probably not so much. But We'll see where that goes.
Is it a draw to WrestleMania? Is it one of the reasons that makes one want to sit down and watch the pay-per-view for that?
Well, you remember like when promos and stuff would do that, and
yeah,
they'll probably flub it and fuck it up. The last few WrestleManias just have come and gone and existed with a runtime of like 6 hours. Who wants to sit there and spend that much time?
Let me ask you this: when would you might say was the last WrestleMania that left like a mark or something of a remote memory of like, okay, that was somewhat special in a positive.
I would say Daniel Bryan's win at WrestleMania 30. Okay. Because that's what the fans wanted, and it finally happened. So that one. Before that,
so like Shawn Michaels Taker in their first match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know, you had that string of stuff where Shawn Michaels that match, and then the following year when he got retired. A couple years before that, when Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels had
that a was match. A good match, and then of course that doesn't mean anything.
He shows up at TNA and starts wrestling Jay Lethal and whoever the fuck, yeah.
Yeah, teaming up with AJ Styles and falling into the ring and
yeah. So hey, there you go. There's your bonus transitional champion podcast bleeding into capes and commentaries. What day is it? Do I have to go to work? I don't know. But we're actually here.
Like Matt Hart, where am I? I'm at home. I'm okay.
You know, I got my McDonald's setback. That's a funny ass video. Oh man.
Yeah. It's just a sad state, you know, because we all enjoy wrestling, but you know.
Well, here's hoping AEW gets something. Gets that ball rolling, kind of shows off what wrestling needs to be. Not overproduced shit that you think's gonna win primetime Emmys. Just like grit. Like I hope AEW's approach is similar to what Triple H is wanting to do in NXT, and it's mostly accomplished being that throwback to your NWA and early WCW you can have a little bit of like funny goofy bullshit, that's fine, but if it's too much then
one of the staffers come out greased up in oil and start dancing around in the ring for some you know shitty time filler, right?
Yeah Iceman Traveler it was bringing up Sting and Triple H at that. Yeah, that I still don't understand why Triple H won that match. Yeah. You're bringing Sting in, and that's another sore fucking spot. Like you wasted all these years when you could have had Sting, like mostly in his prime, but towards the twilight of his career, and you wait, and then you reassure him because what he was always afraid of, and what he said in interviews all the time. I didn't want to go because I didn't know what they would do with my character. I've seen guys like how Booker T and DDP, like what happened to them. I don't want that to happen to me. And what happens, he goes, and it pretty much fucking happened to him too. I hate that shit. It's like, oh, well, Sting's defeated. We put WCW to rest. I'm like, WCW is long gone and dead. Because Vince has got to feed his ego? Fuck. I hated that shit. Now, I did pop when it's like, you know, NWO comes out and it's NWO and DX, but at the same time, too, all those guys couldn't move worth a shit either.
It just didn't. It is, the concept was cool, but to actually see it happen, you're like,
yeah. It just like, didn't have the same. Hogan can't bump. Nash's knees are shit. Hall is still like, I mean, he looked good. You know, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg could still go, but who gives a shit about them? Yeah. You know, X-Pac's there, and it's like, okay. And people like Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels can still go. He's great and whatever, but it just fell flat.
Yeah, it's too much too late. It's just didn't have the...
Yeah.
I'm sure to be in the arena when it happened
was a bit more
magical.
Yeah, and I mean, when I watched it live, I was like, that's a cool... It was neat. But it's
it would have been, but I think, don't all right, You think it would have been meant more if Sting had went over? And yes. DX comes out to attack Sting, yes. And then here comes
Sting
the NWO.
Should have went over in that match.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that too. Like, why would you bring him in just to, you know, put Triple H over?
And not only that, when he loses, they do it like all of them are like there's just a handshake and the hugs and shit. And I'm like, what? I'd like, it just didn't. So stupid. Like, who booked that shit? I hate it. God.
Especially if Hunter is like pushing for much more higher quality in wrestling, mm-hmm. and programming things. If he's in that match, you would have thought he had the power. Like, no. I'm putting Sting over. It's WrestleMania. It's his moment.
I mean, ultimately, it's Vince's call. They butt heads all the time. And Triple H is just like, all right, okay, whatever. And that's honestly part of the problem I'm seeing in the chat. They still rely so much on nostalgia.
Yeah.
And it harkens back to what Dirt and I said when we watched the Rumble. You're watching it, and it's like, oh, it doesn't feel like there's any star power in here because John Cena wasn't there, whatever. They've relied too much on it. And they haven't built the stars and the people that they have.
They're waiting on those surprise entrants that don't mean anything for the Rumble. It's just...
Yeah. You've made the people not really give a shit about these guys because they're flip-flopping, and I don't care what anyone says. Yes, it predetermined, fake, whatever. Wins and losses still mean things when you're seeing it presented on the screen. If they're bouncing back and forth, you can't really determine who the better guy is in a feud, can you? And the feud doesn't really end. There's no, like, it's over. It's done. Someone moves on to the next thing. It's more like flip-flopping wins and losses, and I'm just like, I don't know. Bruce Pritchard is back with the company, so maybe he can steer it and help him do stuff. He produced the Batista attacking Ric Flair segment this week, which actually like looked kind of cool.
Holy hell. I wasn't aware he was back. Still listening to his podcast some, but I was not.
There's nothing. The podcast isn't ending or anything, but he is back with the company again.
Man, you really say never.
Yeah. Maybe good one day. For him. Maybe one day Punk will be back because the people want him back. Anyway, Superman the Animated Series. That went on for about 25 minutes. Superman the Animated Series. I'm just going to say this is the best incarnation of Superman that they've been able to pull off yet. It's tough to do in film because Superman, honestly, to me, is too powerful. And when you're doing stories, you got to find a good balance of finding ways to, you can't just rely on kryptonite all the time. You got to find ways to kind of bring him down a couple pegs. And I feel like the animated series does this very well. So this is my go-to Superman. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, well, Christopher Reeve. I'm like, yes, you know, the movie's great and everything, but everything since then cinematically for Superman,
suck balls.
Yeah.
It's been awful.
Yeah.
I can't, as much as I hated Henry Cavill's portrayal of Superman, I know it's not his fault. Zack Snyder and the morons at Warner Brothers. You know, I'm sure some people thought he was a great. I thought he sucked. I thought it was a terrible film. Man, it was awful. God, it was just terrible. Amy Adams was a god awful Lois Lane. She just sucks at everything anyway.
Most of the stuff I've seen her in, yeah.
I haven't seen her in anything that she was any good in.
Yeah, she just looks kind of stoic, but also very sad.
She just looks like a droopy, like, you know, she just doesn't have the
look. She looks sad all the time. Yeah, all the time,
I just don't feel like they have cast... Margot Kidder was a good Lois Lane. What's her name that was in Superman Returns? I know she got a lot of crap for, like, the wig or her forehead's too big or some shit. Like, the Kate... Girls in Blue Crush, whatever.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, every other Kate but her.
Kate Bosworth?
That might be... Fuck. Let's just look it up. Yeah.
Yeah. She was okay, but that was just
I had high hopes for Superman Returns, but to make it a sequel to an already... Like, to fit it back into that, it just... Didn't make much sense. They should have done just a new
Superman film, yeah.
And stop with the Lex Luthor shit. Like, you
give
got...
Give us... And that's why I was like... I wasn't too upset that they were bringing the Kryptonians and having, you know, Zod. But I felt like, damn it, wait, why haven't we got Brainiac or Metallo or Parasite? It's just going back to the same... But I love Lex Luthor. And I feel like there is room to put Lex Luthor in a Superman film with one other grandiose, outer-worldly villain. But, I kind of feel like I do like Chris. I mean, he is my Superman. And then I look at this too as like the definitive interpretation because Clancy Brown is the definitive Lex Luthor. I mean, I've grown to like Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor as I got older. I didn't like it so much as a kid because I felt like it's too silly. Because I'd watch this and I'm like, this is Lex Luthor. Clancy Brown owns this role. I'm like, and ever since the show came on, I'm like, that's how I always saw Lex Luthor. See, anything less than that, even some of those animated straight-to-video films they've done, like Lex Luthor comes off as a bit of a pussy. I haven't watched all of them because some of them suck. I'm like, you know what? You're not getting my money anymore. So if they've done it right in some of the others, I haven't seen it because I've been burned too many times. Casting Jesse Eisenberg to play Luxor, I've been like...
Yeah, that was a mistake.
I don't know what they were thinking.
That would have been like, because Tyler always makes the joke that Jesse Eisenberg and myself look very similar. That would have been like
if they cast Nathan to play Lex Luthor, he'd have been a lot more serious in the role, not like all hyped up and talking like this and talking really fast, trying to be all quirky. Like, oh, any funny people? Because that's what you think of when you think Lex Luthor. You think, I'm a clown.
Well, he's just doing his job. If I would have been him, I would have been like, Zach, what the fuck? I would have just like given him this and like Justice League animated and just slid it to him and be like, watch this.
Yeah, don't even. I mean, comic. I mean, there's so many comics to choose from, but no, watch this because you actually see how Lex's portrayal and persona and his mannerisms, his charisma, like this is how you play Lex Luthor. Like, and that's why I was never fond of Jean's for a long time because, you know, even though at times he's trying to be serious, but he's still played for laughs.
Yeah.
And I know that's how that's the kind of direction they went with it, but I'm like, I don't want to see a silly Lex Luthor. I want to see the evil prick businessman, you know, the guy that just would do anything to kill Superman and still maintain the clean record with the public. You know, that's the Lex Luthor. That's the Lex Luthor I want to see. And I still feel like, you know, as much as they keep putting out superhero films that I don't like, there still is tons of room for improvement. There's still many great stories to be told. Still many great villains that have yet to be portrayed on the silver screen. But, you know, at this rate, I don't know if we'll ever, you know, the way that a new Batman film constantly stays in limbo. Now that Ben Affleck is officially out, apparently, and who knows, that may pop up. Well, we talked to him about it again. He's back on again.
Yeah.
But I know.
I know they're already wanting to take that direction of not having it be like a shared universe anymore. They're just going to
stop that. Yeah.
They're going to move forward and just do the separate stories with their characters. I'm like, yes, you don't have to have them all together. Just give me one good Flash story or whatever. Like, you don't have to. Well, this is building to this. It's like, I know you want to make that Marvel money too, but that ship has sailed, and I'm waiting. I am honestly waiting for that Marvel bubble to burst.
Yeah, I really am too. I really do because I want it to crash and burn, and then they have to rethink things. Like, oh, we've gone too far with all the comedy shit.
Yeah,
you know, and I hope Captain Marvel will be like their first Han Solo, where like, it made money, but not what we expected.
It's gonna happen. Hopefully. I'm sorry if you guys out there enjoy those films, cool, all the power to you. It started off fine. Now it's just
forgettable.
It was like WWE at that point in time where like once Randy Orton popped on the scene, it just seemed like every guy that came out was basically him, shitty tattoos and black trunks, and it just seems like the copying and pasting.
Yeah,
every movie I watch, I'm like, all right, yeah, like it was all right, it was there,
but forgettable. Like, you're not thinking about it when you're not watching it.
Black Panther, Best Picture, fuck you, no, yeah. Horse shit,
yeah.
No, just no. all this politically driven horse shit. I hate it. I hate it.
That's why I want these films to crash and burn. And I don't care if it pisses people off, which, you know, I don't think we have to worry too much about pissing too many people off who listen to this in regards to that. But, you know, they're not fun anymore. I mean, it's not leaving that impact, you know.
Yeah.
At least when Iron Man, the first Iron Man came out, it caught everyone off guard because, you know, Iron Man at the time was a C-list character. And he comes on and just astonishes everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks to Robert Downey Jr. But
it was something new and fresh.
Yeah, and it was a different take on the. It made Tony Stark a little bit more interesting because the public just wasn't that well known with Iron Man. But ever since then, you know, I thought it was ambitious for them to build to Avengers, and they did it, and they did it successfully. But then after that, it's become build, and because I feel like some of these guys, they don't deserve their own movie. I'd say put them in the same movie together, have a team up film. You know, as I've said before, the pushing in the direction to make everything overly family friendly and not taking these characters seriously the way the comic books do, at least comics did at one point. I don't read any of the current stuff. But I just felt like it's much more smarter for DC to stop trying and get some dignity and self-respect back and give us one good solo DC film that's not like Aquaman. Because I'm fairly certain Aquaman was more heavily based in comedy and lighthearted stuff that is going to appeal to the general audience. And of course, that's what it's all about. It's about making money. And they don't give a shit about the fanboys. They just see all fanboys as mindless idiots living in their parents' basements and sitting at the computer, pissing and moaning about, oh, you got this wrong. You got that wrong. You got that wrong. Oh, you got that wrong. I get the stereotype. But, you know, there were some great comic book movies that appealed to everybody, the comic book fans and the general audience. I don't need to go down that list because you people who listen to us, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you got to find that balance. But it just they've just lost their spectacle to them now. You know, as we were building to Avengers, when it finally did happen, you're like, oh, holy shit, like this is great. But after that, it's you just, I don't know. I got desensitized to it. I'm like, well, what else can you do? And here's a bunch of flashy shit, and I'm like, do I care about it?
No, and with them putting out two films a year, it takes away the impact that the one superhero film should have on the public. You know, that one superhero film should steal the summer. People should be talking about, oh man, Captain America this summer. Oh, it was great. No, it makes money, and it comes and goes, and then you're on to the next one. It's not even leaving a tally mark. There's no skid mark. There's no remnants that it was even there, you know, except the Marvel with the cash flow. But with the general public, you feel like it's not leaving that big summer blockbuster feel. When these movies make tons of money, but you don't, it's just like, I know social media buzzes with all the shitty memes and, oh, look, I'm fading to dust and sand just like Infinity War. Aren't I clever and funny? You know, and like, go on, just get the hell out of here and leave me alone. I don't want to see your meme shit.
Yeah, internet memes. Some of them are good.
Most of them are not.
Like memes in general, some of them are good, but most of them are
not. Occasionally, but man, everyone thinks they can turn anything into a meme. I mean, everybody. Everyone thinks, you know, oh, I could turn this drink coaster into a meme. You know, like
I think you're very memeable.
I probably am. I'm sure somebody could, you know.
Screen capture you with your eyes like kind of rolled in your head, like in your hand, and you're talking with your hands. Someone put something down there, but
I want to use. The meme I want to go to is just have Russell Westbrook making that face. Just post that when I don't like something. Just what?
Yeah,
and that's how Marvel and DC have been for me. I was just like, what are you talking about, man? Yeah, you know, I just say I'm out. And I won't see another superhero movie until I see something. I have no interest in the new Hellboy movie. I have no interest in.
Let's go ahead and talk about that for a second. I saw the Red Band trailer that came out with a new set of trailers, what, yesterday, day before? I watched that Red Band trailer, and I'm like, well, one, the CG looks fucking terrible. really, it looks like they should have just made it in like an animated fucking movie, because the CG does not look good. I they want to be ambitious and have all these things going on, but it looks bad. I know Hellboy is he does have the comedic relief because he is a smartass character, but
there's ways of delivering that and not making your hair look like a clown.
Yeah.
You know.
And Ron Perlman is sorely missed. It just doesn't seem the same.
I'm not seeing it anyway, regardless. Yeah. But it just, you know, it's unfortunate because I'm sure it'll be rated R, but it probably won't. I don't know. Hellboy's not as well known, you know, as most superhero films, or is not as well known. Like you're probably not gonna get a lot of college kids in to watch it because they don't know who the hell Hellboy is. Hell, you go into comic book stores now, it's just guys playing card games. No one's reading comics or buying comics. They're just playing card games. What the hell's a comic book?
Yeah. So also, not like there's anything wrong with that, but I remember back in high school seeing those guys playing card games. I'm just like, I don't see the appeal to this.
I respect that, but I feel like when I go into a comic book store, I want to see guys like looking for comic books and talking comics, but it's like you're at a comic book store and no one gives two shits about new comics or old comics. It's just playing the games. I'm like, that's fine, but aren't you guys interested in any of this stuff? Like these vintage comics on the wall? None of this stuff interests you? No. So, I don't know. But yeah, Hellboy doesn't look good. I watched the Red Band trailer this morning. I thought, oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, like, bad jokes, CGI not good, and just how these trailers are always edited to have a joke instead of leaving you feeling goosebumps and excited and pumped. You know, as shitty as the movie was, when that first trailer for, like, The Last Jedi came out, or even The Force Awakens, when The Force Awakens trailer dropped, I watched that trailer so many times because the trailer took it seriously. Now, regardless of what you think, because that movie doesn't mean anything to me anymore after Last Jedi, like, it has nowhere to go now. But that trailer was so impactful and exciting and energizing, the music booming and images, no talking, just stuff happening. That's what gets you excited, and superhero movies are not like that anymore. It's, I got a million of them. Knee slaps all around. The side splitter. You know, it's not about getting you excited and pumped. It's, you know, you make people fall off the couch laughing with the shitty, lame ass, you know, NBC, you know, primetime original humor, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Seinfeld, man.
No. I'm slaming Friends.
Seinfeld.
No, Seinfeld was smart.
But it's shitty humor.
Go watch your Freaks and Geeks.
I haven't watched that in a long time.
I know, it's always gonna be my go-to.
You and fucking Frasier.
Yeah.
Put me to sleep. Tranquilizer dart.
You people turn out for Superman here, so
yeah. It's right? About 40 minutes in. We haven't gotten to the episode yet. Lots of guys here in the chat though, kind of discussing superhero films and the like. And
Well, I'll just throw this out to people in the chat room. Like, look, you know, you hear me and Nathan, we rant and bitch about these movies, and we're not doing it to be ugly or something. It's just like we want to like these films. We want to be excited. I want to be able to walk out of this and talk to Nathan frequently. I want Nathan to get excited and want to go buy a Black Panther action figure or something like that. But that's not the case. We don't walk out of these films, and it leaves an impact on us. Like, it should make you want to go pick up a Captain America comic or a Black Panther book. Or buy a t-shirt, but no, it's just for people who don't, I don't know. I just throw it out to people in the chat room. Do you guys really like all these films? Like, are they leaving an impact on you? Do you think about it when you're done watching it?
I want to stress that these are out at Target. Go find them, the two packs. It's great.
It's one of the very few that have got one.
Well, I've seen people on Twitter and stuff. They're like, oh, yeah, we got like 50 of each one. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
There you go. The two packs of everybody. It's awesome. Got to get the rest. Oh, can't wait to get that Shredder, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get all of them. I'd just be happy if I could find one set just to tide me over. I'll be happy with that because it really feels like it's going to be a bitch to get all four.
And check your GameStops and see if you guys can track down the 90s Movie Turtles. Got those displayed and they look awesome. Except for Mikey's nunchucks, they kind of break apart kind of pretty easy.
Huh.
Oh, mine did. So I had to kind of like just take the set and like tuck it into his shell right there. The other set was fine, so I just put it in his hand, just put a slice of pizza in the other. But yeah, good stuff.
NECA's finest work.
Yep, just got to get the rest of those guys. All right. Link is down below. If you guys have not clicked that already, please click that. You might have some ads going on there, but it's the episode for you that we're doing. Stolen Memories, first appearance of Brainiac.
Yep, and I'll count down. 3, 2, 1, action.
How do you feel about this intro?
I like it. It's not. I will say it's not as energizing as the Batman animated series intro, though. This has got it's busy. I kind of feel like it. I wish they'd given us something more closer to Batman, even though the two are completely different characters. But I kind of wish it was a little bit more of a. I don't know, but I guess I feel like the tone of the intro fits the characters from Man too, like more heroic and. Upbeat, you know, go get them kind of thing. Whereas with Batman, it's a lot more serious, even though Superman's a serious character. It works, but I, in revisiting this episode, I was like, I really wish we'd gotten something a little bit closer to the Batman intro. Not verbatim, but something that's reminiscent of that. And of course, ending it right there with him tearing open the shirt and revealing the S. I mean, that's how you end an intro like that. Were you at all familiar with Brainiac before watching this?
No, not at all. Like, watching the show was kind of like the introductory for a lot of stuff in regards to Superman, because when it comes to Superman, honestly, he is one of my least favorite characters, just because he is, to me, just too overpowered. And
we're doing this because someone had a listener request it, because I know Nathan wouldn't be like gung ho to like suggest something like this. So we wanted to meet a listener's request to do Superman. Of course, I like the series as well too. So
yeah. Batman, Superman, and then Justice League are honestly like to me the go to in terms of anything related to DC. Really, I mean, we got Batman 89 and Returns, but outside of that, this is like my bread and butter, really, of like enjoyment. So yeah, while I wasn't like super gung ho about Superman, I answered like, yes, I will gladly give that a go. I'm happy to do anything on this show, really.
Oh, even and if, I know you would be. It was just one of the things I want to let the listener. I'm not sure who requested it, but we did have a listener who asked if we would cover the show, and. Always happy to honor a listener's request. You know, yep. If people want us to do something in particular, absolutely, because we appreciate the feedback and people that want to listen to us. And I know our buddy Wiley Walt appreciated the Spawn commentary, so shout out to our buddy Wiley. He really enjoyed those.
Yeah, we'll be going back to Spawn. Trust me.
And here's Brainiac and all of his glory here. I didn't know prior to the show, I knew other characters. But it didn't, because Superman mythology was not something I was that well versed in, and still to this day, I only know some. I wouldn't even attempt to have an in-depth Superman discussion with another Superman fan. Like, I like the character, I love the mythology. Of course, over the years, too, you look at a lot of the DC stuff, like, their changes were made constantly with the character. Like the Brainiac we're watching here is kind of like an amalgam of the Brainiacs that have took place over the years. Like, the very first Brainiac is different than the artificial intelligence Brainiac, I think, that was introduced in the Copper Age of Superman. And this one is kind of like an amalgam of that, to a certain degree, even though this Brainiac is essentially artificial intelligence. Which, that's kind of how I like him anyway. You know, a prick robot. As I got older, too, I kind of had an appreciation even more for villains that are a little bit more on the intellectual side. I love my villains to be, you know, big badasses and stuff like that too. But characters like Brainiac and the Riddler, I think they're quite fascinating when they. I'm not saying like Brainiac is like the Riddler, but he's more of a intellectually based villain.
Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, Gorilla Grodd's another one too. Yeah. I just have an appreciation for that, because it's nice to have a multitude of villains who are strong in various. Forms, not just in strength, but that's why Lex Luthor is such a wonderful villain too. No, he cannot go toe to toe with Superman, at least without a Kryptonian battle suit or something like that. But it's that's what makes him such a great villain, is he's an untouchable villain, always behind all the schemes that Superman is stopping, but always, you know, for the most part, avoids capture and prison sentences, even though he has over the years. And there's been changes to Lex Luthor as well. I mean, that's one of those things. If you try to go and research a lot of the DC history, I mean, it's like, God, man, how does someone new to comic books and wants to know about the mythology? There have been so many changes over the years, especially in DC. I mean, Marvel's got their fair share of, like, change this, retcon that. I don't know how people keep up with it. So that's why I think shows like this, if you want to be introduced or show someone what these characters are about, you're better off showing them like Superman, Batman, Justice League, Spectacular Spider-Man, the X-Men animated series. I think that kind of gets the characters over in a nutshell to someone who's not that familiar with the heroes and villains, how they should be portrayed, the story arcs, what the characters are about, because a lot of care, you know, because the same guys who did Batman were given Superman, and they provided the same care and attention that Superman deserves on this show as well. I'm finished now, Nathan.
I was just trying to think of how to like transition to that by what was going, but this part of the episode, like, nothing had really started to happen yet, but here he is in Brainiac's ship. And there is one part coming up that I don't know the decision making behind this, because once these robots here come down, he could easily just use his heat vision to just like cut through them like nothing. And he eventually does that to one of them, but why not just do that here? I don't know why he feels like he's got to go fisticuffs with these things.
Well, I mean, in terms of like storytelling, but, too. I guess that's where Nathan Trolls lies. Like, he's got too many powers. He can do too much, and he's got the ice punch, the heat vision.
So when it comes to situations like this, I'm like, well, why isn't he doing this? Then he gets his ass kicked for a little bit.
Well, people say the same thing about He-Man. Like, how can He-Man struggle against like an underwater creature, and he destroys, you know, an entire, you know, 100-foot statue with one punch? You know, it just depends on what kind of story you're trying to tell. Are you trying to wrap it up now? Do you need something to kind of stretch out the action beats and things like that? It's just one of those things. And this goes for all superheroes, because a lot of superheroes have got abilities that you wonder, why don't they do that all the time? Then you wouldn't have much of a story to tell. Because if Batman were to kill the Joker halfway through Batman 89, we wouldn't have much of a movie, and he probably could easily do it. But he should, like, you know, it's just one of those things. If you're going to watch superheroes, you can't really think that, you know, because I remember I'd have this argument with my dad a lot. Like, Dad, this is why, you know, I don't like watching movies with you, because you always find reasons to destroy the logic. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
I just want to have a good time, and you ruined it.
Yeah. And here he is. I love Brainiac's voice. The actor, his name escapes me, who plays his voice, but he's so, like, when I've wanted for years to see Brainiac on the screen, and I know with, like, the I think there was talk in the Tim Burton Superman film that Brainiac was going to be in that one, I think, the one that Kevin Smith was attached to, which is a fascinating story, but I'm sure as hell glad it never got happened, because Nicolas Cage's Superman, what the hell? I don't want to see what that movie looks like. There were parts of it that I was like, you know, I think if somebody else had been cast as Superman, I might have been like, you know what, just for the sake of like curiosity, I say, okay, I would have liked to have seen that just for the hell of it, but not with Nicolas Cage attached to it. But Brainiac, I know, I think was in that, or was supposed to be in it.
Yeah.
I think even with Superman 3, there was talks of putting Brainiac in that originally, along with Mix Picklick. God, I can never pronounce his name properly. But and Supergirl as well too. A lot of ambition for a Superman film. It would have been interesting to see what Brainiac would have looked like in a 1983 Superman film. But this is the Brainiac I would like to see on the silver screen, with the voice, the look, and just very cold. you know, emotionless.
I feel like Superman is the he's the Sting of the DC universe. He's always just like the do-gooder. He's so trusting, and people turn heel on him all the time.
Yeah, but then it makes for a great pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you want to see him go kick their ass.
And Iceman Traveler brings up a point, because he was like, I don't like how they underpowered him in the series, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about right there. I guess that's why I do gravitate towards this, just because I want Superman to have more vulnerability other than like kryptonite, and that's it. Like, but at the same time too, there are times when I watch and I'm like, well, why didn't he just do that instead? And then he does it, and I'm like, well, could have been over. But I'm kind of, we need to get some more of those guys that worked on He-Man on here, and get kind of ask him more about those approaches that you need to take and how that works in a writing room environment, where like someone says something like that and I would just be like, well, yeah, but couldn't he just do this? And then you have to find a way to work around that and make it work.
Well, that's why I feel like, I mean, I get it. Like, if I was, you know, and I am the last person in the world qualified to ever write a Superman story, but I know the nuts and bolts, the basics. And I would never feel like, and that's the thing I feel like with Superman's Rose Gallery, they have to be a little out, you know, out of this world to a certain extent, because to deal with just mortal men, you know, like with, or even guys that have got, you know, accidents that happen to them, like most of Batman's Rose Gallery are all human, you know, Spider-Man Rose Gallery. Accidents have happened to a lot of those guys, and they're enhanced with like Sandman or Dr. Octopus or Electro. And some of them are just, they're well equipped with like proper tools and stuff like that. Or if Superman were to take on Mysterio, he could just, I mean, crush the hell out of Mysterio with, like that. And that's why I kind of feel like Superman's Rogues Gallery, I mean, it's, you had to come up with characters that are, you know, worldly. Like they're not from Earth for the most part, I think. Even though I know there are some to a certain degree, but you got characters like Darkseid, you got Metello, who's not a human. You've got Doomsday, of course, which was created, I think. Parasite is not human. I mean, it's just, it's. But I feel like, you know, even though Superman, I'm getting off track. The point I'm trying to make is that even though Superman's got all those powers, I that would not be my approach to like, just, okay, use the heat vision. Oh no, use the ice breath now. Like, no, that's not how you tell the story. I feel like you can tell great stories. Even though He-Man's got all these awesome powers and kick anybody's ass immediately, it's cheap to use that. It's like a professional wrestling. Like, if you clearly know Kane could squash Rey Mysterio, it's not going to make for much of a great match. You have to make it believe that Rey Mysterio could take Kane out in a match. Even though, logically, yes, Kane could stomp the hell out of him. But to make it a great match, you got to believe that Rey Mysterio could take out Kane with the 619.
Ugh.
You know, or whatever.
I've had surgery 5 times in my right knee. That's what it's, and he still does that when he sells. He's always just grabbing his knee and rolling around. So he didn't even hit you in the knee. He gave you a clothesline. Why are you grabbing your knee? Doesn't make any sense. But I thought it was funny when Superman is having the visions of, well, Brainiac's the one that's destroying everything, and he wakes up as like my WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone should just like clip that part and just put the ending of WrestleMania 17 right there, and Superman wakes up.
And this is kind of the comments too. Like, I know Brainiac, I'm pretty sure, is responsible for the destruction of Krypton. Like, I think that's part of the canon of Brainiac, and at least one of the versions. I think it's like the third Brainiac. I think third version of Brainiac, because they change versions. I like this just transformation sequence of him just being like a living computer. You know, it's just like, just imagine, it looks so cool. Oh, like his face coming off. I mean, look at him.
Yeah.
And all the information flowing into him there, and just, controlling, I mean, satellites just from sitting. I mean, he's an amazing villain. And that's why I feel like a Superman movie that had Lex and Brainiac as the villains, that could work. You know, I don't feel like it would be one of those things. You got too many villains in the movie. I feel like this is a team up, because Lex doesn't trust Brainiac. Brainiac doesn't trust Lex. But then he like in like season two of Justice League, at the end of that, like that's when Lex and Brainiac have that they kind of bond together, and then they get separated, and then Lex becomes obsessed with getting Brainiac back, and that's what takes us to the Legion of Doom series. I remember that season two. I can't remember. Damn it.
And at some point, we'll cover that.
Yeah, it's great. Like his obsession of trying to recover Brainiac, and Brainiac is talking to him through his subconscious. I mean, it's fascinating. I like this revelation of Superman, like just touching all these orbs and just seeing all the destruction Brainiac is responsible for.
Earth, you're next.
Ooh. Yep.
And good music in this series as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then too, that's why I feel like, you know, I've understood, you know, because Nathan for years has always told me he's never been really a fan of the character. I've always liked the character. I've never like put him in like in my top three superheroes or something like that. But I've always liked the character, and that a lot of that was due to Christopher Reeve, because you know, regardless of what you think about those four Superman films, you may absolutely love the first one or just the second one, or you may I don't know. I think there's merit to all. I haven't seen all the third one to this day. I've just seen parts of it over the years. But where the hell was I going with this?
I don't know.
God. But I just appreciate the care and attention that's given to I remember what it was. Is that I get why, you know, people think Superman's like too much. That how can you get excited about, like, what the odds? Like, you feel like Superman's always going to win. Well, the heroes are always going to win in the end anyway. And that's why you have to come up with, you know, villains like this and that are not from Earth to give Superman a challenge. And that's kind of having to buy into the fact, yes, he can do, but there's always got to be limits. Like, Superman's powers like muscles. They can use heat vision, but it's also like it's a muscle. You know, it's like you kind of, I mean, obviously using his strength and flying is probably a lot easier than concentrating focusing on heat vision, because he could probably destroy Brainiac. Of course, I like this sequence here. And he gathers his strength, starts punching the blast. Like, that's awesome. I tried showing this to my nephew when he was in, and he just wanted to, he said, no cartoon. He wanted to watch real Superman. He wasn't too interested in watching a cartoon of Spider-Man, Superman, but he wanted to watch the real. That's cool. So he loves Superman and Spider-Man, but he wants to see the real deal. So I've shown him like tons of fun. Every time he's in, he wants to watch Superman and Nuclear Man fight it out. It just warms my heart.
I'm sure somewhere Joe's ears are starting to burn.
Well, you know, if Joe had any merit to the conversation, he just is someone who just likes to slam it because he thinks he can. When really, he's no authority. You hear that, Joe? You are no authority. I'm like, what care what kind of a mob boss you are? I'm going to bring you down. That's the thing, though. Like, I used to like disown Superman 4 even as I got older. Then I realized, you know what? It's there's still some good stuff in Superman 4. And then when you realize all the troubles that went into behind the scenes of making the film, you have a better appreciation. Yes, it's still a mess and trying to tell the story, but you know, there's still a lot of great things in it. And I'm not trying to say people that it's like the definitive Superman film. No, that's nonsense to say something like that. But I don't feel like it's given enough credit considering all the limitations that the film had to deal with. Yeah.
Punch right through him. Punch through him and disconnect him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, and watching this, you know, with your first take on Brainiac, like, what was your overall view of the character? Did it leave an impact? Were you like, eh, kind of indifferent? Or was it someone you're like, you know what, I wouldn't mind seeing more of the character? Or was it, what's your impression of him as a villain? Because he's held up in, like, is one of Superman's, like, probably top three villains.
Well, I like the fact that there's a multitude of directions that you can go based off of his abilities and what he can do. There's a lot of stories that, you know, you can tell with that, and I think he it works. Like you've said a couple times during this podcast, that Superman needs villains like that are otherworldly, that can taking a different direction other than just like, oh, here's kryptonite. Because that's always been the go-to.
That magic. And, you know, I mean, there are, you know, characters that use magic, but that's not the common thread of Superman villains. It's someone that has got to match him strength or with intellect, or like Nathan does, go the cheap route and I have a slice of kryptonite. What do you think about that?
There's the polar bears.
Yeah.
Guarding the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a nod. We gotta have polar bears. But it's the Fortress of Solitude.
The brain just kills one of them. Yeah, it's always a great story. Like, I don't care for Kevin Smith's current stuff, and I'm not interested at all in anything he's got going around with another Jay and Silent Bob movie. But
well, from what I read in the chat, he's going to be doing a Howard the Duck series for Hulu.
I just don't trust Kevin Smith in anything comic book related. Like, just because, I mean, the guy has become like the common go to. Hey, if you're worried about, you know, fanboys not liking film, just pay Kevin Smith. He'll say your movie's great.
Oh, like, is he the new Harry Knowles?
Yeah, I think he's been like that for quite a while.
Everything's great. I love it all.
Yeah, he thinks, it just kind of feel like, who the hell are you anymore? You know, and he's been like that for years. And I just feel like his quality and entertainment, you know, Clerks to me is his best film, followed by Mallrats, and then Chasing Amy, and then Dogma. Then after that, I could care less about the rest of the stuff he's ever done. Like, I know Nathan liked Clerks too. I don't care for it anymore. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back sucked.
Yeah.
I never saw Jersey Girl. I didn't care to.
Jersey Girl, for what it is fine. It's cool seeing George Carlin in another role, but yeah, it was okay for what it was. It was definitely a step in a different direction for him. You know, it was more of a funny family-esque kind of film, but I didn't have any problem with it.
Now, did you say that he's doing a Howard the Duck series for Hulu?
That's what the chat was saying, I believe.
What the hell? I heard that there was talks of a Howard the Duck show coming up, but if Marvel just took away Netflix's, like they shut down all the Marvel shows, how is it Hulu?
I don't know.
Is getting a Marvel show.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Oh. A question was posed by Delvis. If there were a DC Marvel draft, who would you guys swap? So we take a Marvel character, put him in DC universe, and vice versa. Who would you? Well, let's just do one. Like, who would you swap who for? It's a good question.
I think Dr. Doom would work very good in the DC universe. I think he'd make a great Superman villain. A great villain for everybody, because he could match wits with Batman intellectually. He could come up with a multitude of weapons and always have kryptonite man stored. He'd be like a much more, I mean, the magnitude of Lex Luthor like would be upped even more with Dr. Doom, because Dr. Doom to me is the definitive comic book villain. I mean, above all else, he's intelligent. He's smart. He runs his own country. I mean, that's Lex. That kind of ups the ante on Lex Luthor's, you know, status quo. So to put Dr. Doom in the DC universe, I could see him feuding with everybody from the Flash to Batman, Superman, the Justice League. Dr. Doom versus the Justice League. I could see that, you know. And then with switching from DC to Marvel, you know what? I'd probably say make Two-Face a Spider-Man villain. I like to see Spider-Man take on like a classic gangster. Throw him in the lot with like Tombstone, the Kingpin, you know, other various crime bosses, Silvermane, Hammerhead. Throw Two-Face in there, or Black Mask. You know, one of those gangster villains, because I always like the gangster villains, you know, ones that have a very special look to them. That's just a random thought if I had a little bit more time to think about it, but definitely Dr. Doom is kind of like the, you know, Lex Luthor. I don't know if I would swap Lex Luthor and put him in the Marvel Universe, but that'd probably be my choice at the moment.
I'm still thinking, and I can't really
I'd switch Aquaman and Namor.
damn. I don't know. We'll leave it at that. I got nothing. Yeah, I don't know. What else you want to talk about? Anything? We wrap this up. What do you want
to
do?
I guess there's another question to answer. We'll answer another listener question, or
I'm going to throw this out there. I say because it's looking like I'm going to work next Saturday, but the next time that I don't, let's go ahead and do that Batman 66 movie.
All right.
Let's do the 66 movie. We'll do a commentary for it.
All right. And then after that, I had something picked out I think you can appreciate.
Okay.
I say we do a commentary on the real Ghostbusters, The Boogeyman Cometh.
All right.
Yeah, because they have their own comic book, so I can get away with it.
So. Well, to be fair, I feel like everything has had a comic book. You went through my comic book collection a couple weeks ago. You saw all the different shit. You're like, what? Kool-Aid Man got a comic book.
I'm just trying to think, you know, because like I said, I know it's our show, we can do whatever we want, but I also like to feel like there's some justification to do something that's not necessarily a superhero. Because we've done, you know, Brave Star, we've done Thundercats and stuff like that too. So
Doug.
It's all,
we still got to do Doug.
Yeah, and we will do Doug. So I say, if Nathan gets a fixation, wants to do more Ghostbusters, we'll do that. But after Ghostbusters, then I think we should cover like a Quailman episode of Doug, like two episodes back to back of, you know, of two episodes of Doug, you know, because they always had like the two episodes and one time slot there. So that's what we'll do. Batman 66 will be the next one we do. Real Ghostbusters, Boogeyman Cometh, and then after that we'll head to Doug and do a Doug episode.
That sounds good to me. Jason Ritter throws out, would you guys do a commentary on Apocalypse Now, the two-parter? I'd say yes. I mean, eventually, maybe we'll be able to, you know, if we're around long enough, we'll be able to cover, like, pretty much a vast majority of episodes from all these shows. So, yes, why not?
Apocalypse Now, is he referring to... I'm not sure. What's he referring to?
It's more Superman.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, it's one of the, is it the season two?
Looks like it's a season three.
Okay. Yeah. No. I mean, all this stuff. I'm sorry, because I only have season one of Superman. So. Yeah, we would definitely be open to covering that, of course. And I apologize for the brain fart on that one there, too, because I don't own season two and three.
Fedmon says, Nickelodeon, Doug, please, not Disney. Oh, yeah, we're not touching Disney.
No. We only do quality on here. You know, that's why everything we cover is going to be good.
I do want to cover some bad stuff just to watch Tyler squirm a little bit.
Well, that means you'd have to, you know, what would you suggest then?
Guardians of the Galaxy commentary.
You'll be the only one here for that one. I'll just stick like an ice cube right here. And you can just talk to the ice cube.
And watch it melt over time.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a great interpretation of me just being frozen solid, then I just like melt away. Yeah. So we could do more Superman, of course, and you know.
Then, of course, we'll come back to all the other things that we've done.
I wanted to do the G.I. Joe movie with Nathan, the 1987 G.I. Joe movie. I'd like to cover that with Nathan at some point. More X-Men, Mask of Phantasm. We've yet to do that. That's something we've been talking about doing that for a long time as well. I was trying to look at the shelf of other stuff that we could... Wolverine and the X-Men. That's another X-Men series I thought was pretty good that I don't think Nathan's ever watched.
Nope, never saw it.
Yeah, that was quite good. We've only done one episode of Transformers, so it'd be fun to go and do like City of Steel from season two of Transformers. That'd be a fun episode to cover. More Rambo. I mean, we got endless stuff. So as long as people are listening, we'll keep going. So, and if you stop listening, then go to hell.
Yeah, that's just still just more chatter going on there. Thanks guys for showing up. Yeah, and being active in the chat.
Yeah, it lets us know we're doing something that you guys find entertaining. And we'll do more Spawn. You know, just Spawn. I think it definitely really hit a chord with Nathan.
Yep.
So we'll definitely do that. I want to do more Thundercats.
I mean, it definitely did. If the camera, you can't see it. You can see a little bit of Violator down there.
I see him down there. Yeah.
Yeah, I got my shelf going. Yeah, I finally got some more shit going on. There's
building
all that,
up.
Yeah, there's all it. Emily's got a lot of ponies. Jesus. And someone else noticed that Barry Punch has a new friend right there, and that is thanks to Eric Amon, who sent me a package. One thing I'll probably actually use if I do a video game stream, and I feel like now that I've said that, that's like the secret magic word. Joe will pop out of nowhere. It's like, oh, you're going to do a video game stream? I was like, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You really suck at this, man.
Yeah. Joe, is that you? Maybe. I'll work in a video game stream this weekend, potentially. Got to have my pretzel crust and my alcohol. It's one guarantee. That'll always be the three guarantees on Beyond Retro Arcade. Pretzel crust until they get rid of it, and that'll be a sad day. We'll get a recipe and we'll make our own. Pretzel crust, liquor drinks, Wheel of Fortune at the end. Those are my three guarantees for Beyond Retro Arcade. Oh, man. And now I'm going to go to Target and see if I can find any more of them turtles.
Best of luck with that.
We'll see how that goes. But, yeah. Hopefully next week, I know we said Batman next, but we'll say Batman for when I have a total free weekend.
Yeah.
Next week, we can probably go ahead and just do one of the shorter episodes and get that knocked out before I go into work. So what would you like to do next week? What was the plan after Batman?
I suggested Ghostbusters.
All right. Well, let's do
Man Cometh.
Let's do next week. Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Real Ghostbusters, people. That's what we're doing next week. So if you enjoy those first two seasons, which I think are, you know, it's when the voices don't get all screwed up. Nathan's favorite, Dave Coulier takes over the voice of Peter Venkman.
Yeah, that was some horse shit, huh?
Oh, God, man. I
noticed the difference because I was like, because you hear Venkman's voice, but he was also doing the Betty Crocker commercials, too.
Yeah.
And then here comes Dave Coulier. And I'm like, yeah, I hate Dave Coulier.
I hate his Peter Venkman. And you hear stories that Bill Murray had something to do with like Lorenzo Musso being removed, which I don't know how much truth there is to it and how much if he was like, no, have him removed, or he's like, I don't really like the voice. I don't know, whatever it is. Point is, they replaced it because it didn't sound like Bill Murray. And you get this really deep voice, like, hey, Sly. And we're like, how the hell does this sound anything like Bill Murray? Like, God, they went from perfection. Lorenzo Music was the perfect Peter Venkman.
Just like, go back to doing your Rocky and Bullwinkle on your Popeye, you asshole.
Yeah.
Cut it out. Remember that episode of Full House when he was on Star Search?
No.
Did you ever watch Star Search a lot? Yeah, I watched it all the time.
Yeah, on Saturday nights, when I stayed at my mama's house, that was always a guarantee to watch Star Search. I always looked forward to like the really hot girl they would show at the end of the show, like the girl that was like taking glamour photos. Like, oh man, she's so hot, man. That was my favorite part.
Some more stuff in the chat before we wrap up. Well, I'll start with Jason Ritter. He asked, are we doing any more Spectacular Spider-Man? Yes.
I love that show. So
yeah,
I tell you what, Jason, since you're you asked, I'll throw that to you. When we go back to it, what episode would you like?
Well,
to
he says here the episode Nurture versus
Nature.
Nurture.
Yeah, that's when Venom shows up.
Yeah.
Well, damn right. We'll do that episode to honor you, bud.
I need to like open up my OneNote and probably like type that when we're done. That way, it's there and I know it's there. This is an interesting question. I would not be opposed to this either. It'd be kind of amusing, honestly. Maybe discuss a porn parody of a series one time as well.
Yeah, there's one of like a China She-Hulk like doing the Invisible Woman. And there's like Batman 66, and then there's
I have watched the Batman 66. That one, Batgirl, pretty good in that one.
Yeah, I did like watching China all dragged up in green, like giving it to Invisible One. That was I watched snippets and like it's pretty good.
No, I don't know. I could I don't know if I can do it. But yeah, sure, why not? That would be a funny...
Like, are we doing a commentary for it?
You know, like, what? Yeah, may as well. Hey, if you guys got this sitting on your shelf, go ahead and pop it in your DVD player. Pop it in like they're about to. But yeah, why not? Fuck it. That'd be funny. Delvis says that you need to do more mini comics. He says the Leech one was amazing.
Well, I've already done another one, just waiting for Carson to finish the other one. Hopefully it won't take him another 2 years. So that's all on Carson. You need to contact Carson. If you want another one, it's been written and ready to go. It's just he has not finished it because he tries to take on more than he can handle. And a bunch of other stuff, too. So if you want the Clampchamp Ninja or comic finish, you need to send Carson a message and say, hey, get this shit done. You know, because I've shown pages of it. It looks great, like layouts and stuff. But honestly, I could not tell you when the hell it'll ever get done at this point. It almost took over a year for that Leech comic to get done. And then when he disappeared for almost a year, after I turned in the Clampchamp book, he sent me, I think, a couple of layouts and then just disappeared for almost a year again. And then it was like, hey, we'll do this, we'll do that. No, we won't. I can't get you to get one book done. Don't even try to suggest all this other stuff.
Well, there you go. There's a little insider info for you.
So that's why it's taking so long. I don't know all the ins and outs of his personal life. I know he's got a job and relationships and stuff like that too to take care of and everything. But believe me, I'm as hungry to see that Clampchamp Ninja or book done, because I think if you like the Leech one, this is better than that one. I think in terms of like the writing, the story, the fighting, it's a big action based comic book. So I think anybody that likes He-Man would really love that mini comic.
And eventually it'll pop in. It'll show up.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, I guess with that said, we will go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you guys for joining us live. If you're checking us out on the archive, make sure that you hit subscribe and ring the bell so you get notified when we go live for Capes and Commentaries, our Beyond Retro podcast and Beyond Retro Arcade, where I get drunk and play video games very terribly. Check out all the links down below. You can download us on Podbean and iTunes, and I want to encourage you guys that are on those channels, hop on over to YouTube. It's youtube.com/Beyond Retro Podcast. Check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast hosted by Tyler Baker and Joe Amato and myself. You can find that at youtube.com/Fans of Power Podcast. Buy Joe's t-shirts, hit him up for a custom. Like us on Facebook, like this video, and leave a comment down below and let us know your thoughts on WrestleMania 17 and Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
And I guess until next time, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Thanks again, everybody.
Take care.